We hope you enjoy this teaching by Pastor Sharon Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching. We believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
How are you this morning? Are you good? Are you good? You're looking fantastic. So good to be here. Just put your hand on the girl's shoulder next to you. Let's just pray. Father, we are just so grateful. So very, very grateful. Lord, we're very mindful that we are here for such a time as this. And God, I'm always reminded that it's no coincidence that we're here, that we are in Virginia Beach, Virginia, on February 6, 2019. But God, it's by your strategic plan and purpose. Just remind us all of that, God. It's also no coincidence that I'm standing with these amazing women. But God, we are a force to be reckoned with. Lord, thank you for reminding us of that. And as we come into this devoted season, God, we pray, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Give someone a high five. Give them a squeeze. Thank you, guys. Thank you to our Create team. Amazing people. So how are you? You doing well? Everybody doing well? I feel like we're being subtly lured into feeling spring is coming early. I feel like that happens every year. And then wham, out of nowhere. But let's not, say that. But let's just, be very aware that that's what happens. You know, we got a lot going on in our world, a lot going on in our culture. And many of you would know that they tried to pass a bill for third trimester abortion, which has been squashed. Thank you, Jesus. However, I was talking to Tamika. Where are you, Tamika? Tamika. And I said, Tamika, what can we do? What can we do as believers? And she said, well, first of all, we have a congresswoman, Elaine Lauria, and let's make, some noise. Now, when I say noise, we're not beating up people, but let's email her and say, as believers, we do not agree with third trimester abortion. We just want you to know. And again, this isn't about politics. It isn't about a side versus a side. This is about believers, as Pastor Steve has so often said, believers who are interested in the political process and about our nation. And I just wanted to talk about that because so often people nowadays look to social media for everything. And to be honest with you, it scares me a little bit. Because even as Christians, we can get on there and scream and shout and carry on. And I just don't believe that's the way of the gospel. I believe we take a stand and we stand firm. But I feel like fighting and hating on, that's just stupid. And as the church, she's a force to be reckoned with. But she doesn't have to hate on and scream. That's not the message that Jesus came to give. So let's be doing that. And let's not make it personal against Elaine at all, okay? We are Christian women, and we are saying, we just want you to be aware that we do not stand for this. And as you are in the position you are in, we just want you to know that as Christian women, we will be standing here saying, no, we do not, we vehemently oppose that, okay? So can we do that? If that's what you wanted, because I was just saying to Tamika, I don't want to just stand here and do nothing. But what can we do in a biblical, Jesus-focused way? Is that okay? I'm also very aware that Devoted is right around the corner. And so this morning, I just was going to share just maybe practically, but maybe just get our minds and our hearts and our focus. Because remember, this is a gift to us. And some of you would be new to this journey, and some of you have heard me say this a lot, but before this building was ever built, someone prophesied to our church and said, I don't know everything that's going to be happening here, but I see it filled with women, which means that God saw you and I in here and all the women that come way before we even did and really even envisioned it. And he gave us a glimpse into what was ahead. And so because of that, I want you to know that every year we don't just go into, oh, well, it's Devoted Conference. No, the heart of our team, who are exemplary, I want you to know that, is that we, well, let me just say this. I was looking up, because I believe it's a gift to us, okay? Devoted Conference is a gift to us. And when I was kind of contemplating this, I looked up the there's lots of meanings of the word gift. But one of them was blessing, favor, endow, and invest. And I believe with all my heart, that's exactly what the Lord Jesus does to us every year as we meet. He gives us blessing, favor, endow, and invest. And I also was thinking about, and again, I want you to hear my heart behind it, and I don't think I'm Mary, the mother of Jesus, but I did think about when the angel visited her and said, you found favor. And as a result of that, you know, she was became the mother of the Messiah. But I'm mindful that I believe our church has found favor and this company of women has found favor and that God is going to turn up and very beautifully change generations and lives are going to be changed. So I want you to hear what I'm saying there. I'm not saying I'm Mary, but there's something about the favor of God and a touch of heaven. So if you've got your Bible, they will put it up on the screen, but I'm just going to share out of the scripture where kind of Devoted Conference kind of came out of. And it's Acts 2:42. And again, because I'm not that smart, for a long time it was called Wave Women Conference. Many of you would remember that. And then one year, our theme was devoted. And I just, as I was going into the conference, I thought, you know what? That's kind of who we are. I'm speaking that. We are devoted, wholly devoted followers of Christ. God, we devote our lives to you. Everything about us is about you. And so that's when we kind of initiated the change to the name Devoted. Just so you know, I'm not that. Someone said to me, I think Chris Kane was here at the time, actually. Christine Kane, many of you would know her. And when I, after she taught a couple of times, she goes, you know, that's a really good name for your conference. And I said, actually, Chris, we are going to change it now that you say that. I said, you know, I wasn't that smart years ago and thought we needed to, but there you go. It catches up. I catch up with it all. All right, every believer. This is what it says in the Passion Translation I'm reading from. Every believer was faithfully devoted to following the teachings of the apostles. So they were faithfully devoted to the word. And that's what I love. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another. Isn't that awesome? Their hearts were mutually linked to one another. In other words, we're all going the same way and our mission and vision are the same. We're not out to compete or this isn't a race where whoever's the fastest wins or whoever's the best at this. No, our hearts are linked. We're cheering the sister beside us on, the sister who's coming up behind us, the sister in the generations ahead of us. Our hearts are mutually linked because we know we are here for such a time as this and Jesus is at the center of everything we do. So the hearts were mutually linked to one another, sharing communion, breaking of bread, and coming together regularly for prayer. How beautiful. And then it says in verse 43, a deep sense of holy awe. So as they were devoted to the word, as their hearts were mutually linked together, as there was unity, as they were sharing communion and eating meals together, and as they were praying together, something powerful happened in their midst. A deep sense of holy awe swept over everyone. And because of that, the Bible says the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And that's what I'm believing for. Not just this devoted, but all the devoteds to come. That we would go into it with a deep sense of holy awe. I promise you, there's nothing I could do or our team could do. I mean, our team works so, so hard. But there's nothing I could do to see a building filled with women. There just isn't. I'm just putting it out there. I promise you, I'm not that smart, clever, except for God. And our team and I, and you all who lead this, and I mean that, my heart is that you would own this like never before. What do I mean about that? Well, let me just say to you, if someone comes to your home, you make them feel welcomed. You have a seat for them. You'll give up your seat at the table to make sure the guest is, you know what I'm saying now? And I'm not asking people to give up seats, although if we're really crammed, and I believe one day we will be, if we're really crammed, then yeah, we will. I mean, I can stand in his presence. I can sit on the floor in his presence. It doesn't really matter. I just, our hearts are mutually linked together, and we want every single person not to miss out, right? But if I come to your home for a meal, you'll make sure that, you know, I'm sure you will make sure I get fed pretty good. You know what I mean? You'd put on a nice meal, and you'd make sure I'd come comfortable. If I came in the winter, you'd take off my coat and you'd hang it somewhere. You would make sure that the experience was great and that the conversation was awesome. And then when we left, we were probably more connected than when we began, right? I would know a little bit about you, a little bit more about you, and you would know a little bit more about me. And maybe on a larger scale, but really with the same intentionality, that's what owning it is about. That you're not just attending a conference, this is our conference. And there's a shift that happens because I can tell you that I have attended conferences before. And when you own it and make it yours, something amazing happens. I'm not just sitting there waiting. Okay, what do you got now? What's the opener going to be? Wonder if they'll sing the praise and worship songs that I like. When you own it, when it's ours, it's like, I can't wait to see. Because I know that this is God ordained. And I'm on the edge of my seat because the presence of God I know is going to be so tangible. And I can't wait to see what happens in women's lives. And I have to bring my notebook or my iPad or iPhone because I've got to take notes because, God, I know you're going to speak to me. Because that's how we pray. That not a single woman would come in here and not hear. In other words, every woman would hear a specific word for you. And I think, and I know that God, as big as he is so intentional that every woman he has on his mind and every woman he has a specific word for in the season that she is in. And so I'm praying more than ever that we're going to see miracles and breakthrough and hope restored where there hasn't been hope. Why? Because I just know it's God ordained. I just know that we're walking in the will of God. And when you walk in the will of God, it's like, whoa, I can't wait to see what happens. Now, don't get me wrong, we're not laissez-faire. Oh God, you're just going to turn up, so we'll just wait. No, we work really, really hard. Our Create team works really, really hard. Our team, our devoted conference team work really, really hard so that we create an environment where every heart can receive what Jesus has to say. So I want us to come in, and in saying that, I'm always saying to our team, I want to steward this as well as we can. I feel like we are carriers of the mission and vision of Jesus, right? So we are carrying this, and I want to do everything we can. That means our eyes and ears are always open and listening. God, what are you saying? Holy Spirit, what are you saying for this particular devoted? And so I always come in with a sense of awe and wonder. And last year, and some of you would know this because we talked about it, but last year on the Thursday, I got a call from one of our production guys who said, just so you know, something, I don't know what it's called up there, has crashed. And so basically, we don't have any video. No, the screens don't work. You know, they were just listing off all this stuff. And I just remember thinking and saying to them, okay, do we have sound? What do we have? I've heard about what we don't have. What do we have? Because I promise you, if we had to do acoustic worship, I just know that this is God ordained. So if we had to do acoustic worship, well, God, awesome. Honestly, awesome. If we had to move some women down from the back, awesome. If the speaker had to use a loud hailer, awesome. I just don't care. Well, I care, but I don't. I mean, I just go in the knowledge that God, you have ordained this. So we've prayed, we've done it all. Now you do what only you can do. And I know with sound, with no sound, with a loud hailer, with microphones, whatever, God can move. Remember, he's done this before. Remember, he sat on a mountain and taught 5,000 people with no sound and no screens. And I'm grateful for sound. And I'm very grateful for screens. And I'm grateful for an amazing building that can house us. Because we do it kind of in winter. But it would be good to sit outside and just, you know. But I just know, God, you're for us. I just know. And so because of that, I go in the confidence. And I pray that you'll come in that confidence, knowing, God, you did it before, you'll do it again. I've seen you move. You've moved mountains. And I believe that you can do it again. All right. So I believe that I do. I so believe that there are going to be breathtaking moments. You know, years and years ago, Steve spoke in a church in Paris, France. And afterwards, the people who were hosting us took us out for dinner. We didn't know where we were going. Just kind of went up this, you know, escalator up, and it was just, the restaurant was kind of on, I forget what floor it was. I think we did a lift and an escalator. Well, anyway, we got in and we sat down. Wasn't thinking anything of it. People came to serve us. And all of a sudden, in the distance, it was dark, it was night, the Eiffel Tower began to shimmer with light. And they had made sure that we were facing that way. And I remember sitting there going, oh. Have you been in a moment like that where it just kind of takes your breath away? Like, whoa. And that's what I believe God has for us. Those moments that are absolutely breathtaking where you're like, oh. Those moments where I remember when Sam and Laurie were having the baby and we were all in the waiting room standing around the phone as Sam was about to send the very first picture of this brand new spanking baby boy. And it was, there's a picture of me with my hand on my chest because it's like, oh, and if you become grandparents, you know that, oh, that little baby boy. I believe God wants to do that for us. And then Matthew 7:11 says this, talking about gifts and thinking about even the gifts we give for our children and just kind of laughing as I thought about this. If you, imperfect as you are, know how to lovingly take care of your children and give them what's best. Listen, how much more ready is your Heavenly Father to give wonderful gifts to those who ask Him? Oh God, we believe you for it. We are believing you for miracles in Jesus' name. We are believing for marriages to be restored. We are believing for shame to be gone completely and totally smashed in Jesus' name. Guilt gone. Lord, we're just praying for a fresh move of your Holy Spirit. I pray, God, you would compel women to come, not because it's about me or us or anything like that, but because you are here. Holy Spirit, what can we do as we pray, Lord, to see your Spirit move on those who should be here? But our Heavenly Father's ready to give us wonderful gifts. I remember years and years ago, our boys who were crazy soccer players. Anyone have kids who have played or did play soccer and love soccer? Yeah. So we had, you know, a yard that was big enough to hold a full-size soccer goal, and that's what they wanted for Christmas. I remember both the boys wanted a joint present this year, and it was a full-size soccer goal. And so, you know, we were Google back then? I don't know. I don't know. I feel like I've Googled all my life, but I know I haven't. I love it so much. I'm like, oh my gosh, if Google goes down, that will be a sad day. I like information and searching stuff, right? But anyway, I remember researching because, you know, it's like, look, middle school, high school, we don't want to spend a lot of money, but we wanted them to be able to practice on a full size, you know, so I think we got one that was made of PVC pipe and the net, you had to put it on. And I remember there was a young guy who was on our team at the time, and we wanted to surprise them, and, you know, because surprising is just the best, isn't it? I mean, I love surprise. We used to love surprising the kids. And so this particular year, we had ordered it and organized it, and this young guy had put it together, but it was at our neighbor's house down the street. And I remember we, you know, had Christmas Eve services, and we came home. And then, you know, when you've got kids that age, you stay up late, and then finally everybody's to bed, gets into bed, and of course I'm left wrapping, because back then I would just wrap on Christmas. It's just the, you know, yeah, just don't wrap on Christmas Eve if you can, right? Everybody, every mom says, yeah, and every year there's always something, right? And so I think Steve and I actually fell asleep, and I woke up at 1:30 and I said, Steve, the soccer goal, we don't have it here. Thank God I did. See, if you, imperfect as you are, like we almost messed it up. So we woke up, and this young guy, as sweet as he was waiting at our neighbors for the word to bring, because he'd put the soccer goal together. I know, isn't that awesome? And it was on the back of a flatbed, because a soccer goal's big. This thing wasn't super heavy, but they're big things. And so he brought it down. So at 2 a.m., we are putting it in the yard. And, you know, I mean, every parent has that kind of a story about a Christmas where you know, right? And anyway, so the next morning, they wake up and they come out and they're looking at stuff under the tree. And then Steve says, oh, guys, come out here. And I don't know if they just thought they weren't getting it or what, or they're just boys and it was early and they weren't really thinking. But I remember at the time we had a wooden deck, and they walked out and they both saw this soccer goal. I mean, it was like, I don't know, you know, think about something that you would love, or like a brand new car or something. It was like they just won the lottery. I mean, it was just so amazing. And so they're like, yeah! And they start running around the deck, and then banged into each other and were totally winded, like almost knocked out on the deck. But I'll never forget that, because when I read this scripture, I fully understand, as the word says, and if you, imperfect as you are, want to spoil, want to bless, want to see your kids do well and get something so special, how much more, not just a little bit more, how much more ready is God? And as I go into devoted, I'm very aware that there are wonderful gifts. I'm not talking about physical. I'm just talking about gifts of Jesus' presence, answers, that we might return to our circumstances that might not have shifted one bit, but will have shifted, because we've had an encounter with God that's so powerful that what's going on in my world, I trust Jesus enough now to go, you got this. You got this. I'm not going to kick and scream anymore. I'm not going to throw a tantrum anymore. I just know, God, in the midst of this storm or in the midst of this life, you've got it. All right, so let's just talk about a couple of things with the gift of devoted. First thing is, the packaging doesn't matter. What was interesting about that soccer goal is it didn't have an ounce of gift wrap around it. I mean, God knows I was not going out there with 20 rolls of Christmas paper and just trying to. But the impact was greater than if I'd given them a wrap present. You know what I'm saying? And so as you come into devoted, it might look a little different for you this year. Maybe you've been coming with people before, and for whatever reason they've moved out of town or can't be here, or any number of circumstances could change. Don't think God can't move in your life. There's nothing better than giving the very best gift, but there's also nothing better than receiving the very best gift. And that's what Jesus has for us. I remember last year, but a girl came, and I think her grandma had just passed away a couple months before. And I'm glad she told me this after the fact, but she said, you know, I came to devoted and I was just heartbroken, you know, about my grandma. And she said, I just said, God, if you just know what's going on in my world, could they just sing a certain song in the worship set? Now, if she'd have told me that before, I'd have been like, get that song in the worship set. But I'm kind of glad she did it, because the song was in one of the worship sets we did. Now, I didn't do that. Our team just think and pray about a worship set. But God knew. And he took care of every little detail. And I just want to say, girls, allow God to be God and do what only he can do. Second thing about a gift is you need to open it. You ever received a gift and you're like, ah, yeah, I'll put that to the side. Maybe even sometimes I don't know, sometimes you could forget about it. But you'll never access the gift if you don't look inside. And sometimes you need people to go, you know, there might be two things and one's little and it's down the bottom. And you get the top thing and they'll say, oh, there's something else. And I just want to say, girls, there's something else. There's something else. Don't just take out the top part of the tissue. It's God, oh, God, there's a little something, a little bonus gift right down there. So can I ask you to open your heart, really open it, to what God wants to say and do in and through our lives. Third thing about the gift of devoted is it's so wonderful to share. The experience is worth sharing. Now, we have a number of women that come and they come by themselves. And Leah oversees a beautiful, you can sit with us. And she, we get them to, I think they email in or let us know. You know, if you're coming by yourself, and we make sure that you don't sit by yourself. Because there's something about sharing an experience. I actually think that's how women are wired. We were actually wired to share experiences together. And we really do not do well on our own. And so if that's you, if you're coming and you're not really sure of are you someone that you would normally sit with, just let us know. We want to do everything we can. And I'm asking you girls, as women of Wave Church, to really go out of your way to notice, to love on. And some of us are a little quieter. I promise you, years ago I laughed because Steve would say to me, you know, we used to do praise and worship a little bit different. Halfway through, he'd say, you know, after the praise songs, he'd be like, okay, just get up there and chat. Just say hi. And I'd be like, well, I can do hi, but there's not much else after that. I don't really know what to do. And I have learned how to chat. And so let me give you a key that when, as I have talked to a lot of people, because I was married to a man who talked to a lot of people, so I'm either going to figure this out or it's going to be pretty miserable, is that I just start asking questions. Well, tell me about you. And do you live here? Where do you live? And, you know, what's going on in your world? Do you work? Have you got family? And I've just started. So if you're a little bit quieter, and don't feel bad about this, but just even write down a few questions that go to kind of thing. Because I understand that that can be a really difficult moment. But because I know that God is giving this to us, I know that he's asking all of us our capacity to be stretched even a little bit more. And so that may mean that we have to get out of our comfort zone and go over to someone that we don't know. Now, every now and again, not often, most people, when you ask them about themselves, they're going to tell you everything. Every now and again, you'll get someone that's yes, no. And you know what? That's okay. It's like high five, great chatting to you, and you move on to that. You know what I mean? You don't let that, because I've had those people too. And it's okay. But I want us to open our hearts and to really, really go, you know, just be as embracing as we are able to be. I'm asking us to pray for God connections. May we share who we are in that conversation. I'm going to pray that the people you start talking to, that there's something about their life that you can go, oh, what? I did that, or I know someone who did. You know what I mean? That there will be an absolute God connection that will open up and blossom maybe into a great friendship. And may we rejoice and weep with others. I'm sure there'll be moments where we laugh hysterically, but there'll be moments where there'll be tears. And may we just be, I don't know, just, what's the word I'm looking for? May we be sensitive to what's going on with those around us. And may we take it, what happens, back to our world. I don't believe for a minute this is just about the women who sit in here at all. God is never just about that moment. His ways are way higher. And I know and believe that what happens here is for our families, our co-workers, our neighborhoods, our communities, and beyond. In Jesus' name. Fourth thing about the gift of devoted. I'm praying that you will feel like the most spoiled girl in the world. I really mean that with all my heart. That you will feel like the most spoiled girl in the world. You know when you go to a baby shower or a wedding shower and again, we're also, we just, it's great, isn't it, when you sit around and you watch someone open gifts, or it's your turn and you get the opportunity to open gifts, or a birthday, you get around and you open gifts. And there's this sense, as I've watched my girls do it, where afterwards you just see how kind and generous people have been. And also this room full of women who are just cheering you on and encouraging you. And they've also, they just sit back and go, I'm so blessed. And that's what I'm praying for each of you. As we come in, as we, you know, again, the packaging doesn't matter. God's going to do what he's going to do. Let's pray for that. But as we unwrap the gift and as we notice, oh, there's a little something extra. Ooh, as we share with one another, I pray that we would feel, this isn't about me. I'm a part of something way bigger. And yet God sees me and has something specific for me too. In Jesus' name. I pray that we would all go, look what has been given to us. And look who I get to do this with. I pray we would leave honoring and valuing the relationships in our world in a greater way, in a better way than we have. And then lastly, point number 5. I want to remind all of us that someone spent time, thought, and effort to make this happen. Now, am I talking about me and our team? To an extent, our team particularly, who worked very, very hard. But I'm talking about Jesus. Let's stay thankful and grateful that, I don't know, 15 or so years ago, he spoke a word. He's been preparing. He's been ready. He anxiously awaits. For us, I believe every day he anxiously awaits. But in this moment of devoted, I believe Jesus is like, oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait for the girls to gather. And we have an incredible team of church staff and volunteers that make this happen. And when you see them, give them a shout out. Tell them thank you so much. And may we always stay grateful. Pastor Mark Hopkins was telling our team, some of our team yesterday, that he was down at our Greenville, North Carolina campus. And there was a girl that got up to share, and she said, I think last year, someone paid for her. She couldn't afford to come. And she said, to be honest, I didn't want to come. I didn't want to come. Someone paid for me to come. And so I came, and even coming up, I didn't really kind of want to come. I was like, oh, I don't know what this is going to be like, and a bunch of women, I don't know, and oh. But she said, I came, and it changed my life. I'm not the same person. It was beyond what I could ever have even thought. And she said, God met me powerfully, and it just changed the course of my life. She said, so this year, I'm paying for someone to come. Isn't that awesome? I'm paying for someone to come so they can experience. And I guess I say that too because sometimes, you know, to me, that's real life change. You know what I mean? And that's as a pastor, what I want to see. You know, sometimes we have women every year, they want to be sponsored and some for very real needs. But others is because they feel like I'm owed a little bit. And I'm praying that we'll be a woman that will shift from that. We're owed nothing. This life I get to live, that we get to live, I don't deserve, but because of who Christ is and because of the price he paid. So I pray that all of us, if we have been sponsored before, even if we haven't, let's sow in and let's help women who legitimately need to. But if we have been sponsored, can I challenge us to have a shift and go, you know what, let me own this. This is my conference. I want to see others come. Let me put in $5, $10, $20 to see someone else come. I just want to make sure that we steward this so well with everything that we're able to. You know, last year we had Lisa Turkhurst, and she came. Everybody, do you remember Lisa Turkhurst came and she taught on Between Two Gardens? And, you know, as a staff girls now, we're going through her book, It's Not Supposed to Be This Way. But the miracle of her journey is that last year she came and her marriage was not in a good place. In fact, she talked about, it looks like I'm going to have to get divorced because my husband's chosen this. And, you know, you fast forward this time this year and they've just renewed their wedding vows. And you just go, look what God can do when you trust Him and put Him first place in your life. That's what I'm believing for. God, you can make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. I'm sure there's girls you've invited that are just like, nah, God, I'm just believing you're gonna make a way where there isn't or doesn't seem to be a way. So why don't we stand? And I just thought we'd take a few moments. I know we're going into a month of praying, and honestly, can I ask us girls to be praying for devoted like never before? And what is praying? It's praying in your own words. It's not like God discounts our prayer because we don't get it right. I promise you, He doesn't. The Bible says He weighs our prayers. He weighs them. Looks at the heart of a person and goes, wow, look how she's praying. So maybe grab two or three girls, and maybe there's something that I spoke about this morning, and let's just take a couple of minutes and let's really begin. We've got a prayer night tomorrow night. We've got prayer after this, but I'm like, Jesus, we need you. We want you. God, help us, guide us. We're praying for friends. We're praying for miracles. We're praying for hope to be restored, for babies to become where there's infertility issues, for depression to lift in Jesus' name. We're praying for freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So grab a couple of girls and let's just spend a few minutes praying. Is that okay? Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Awesome God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Awesome, girls. Awesome, awesome. I loved your praying. Love some tears, some good tears, some good chatting. And I just, you know what I believe? I believe that, you know, obviously God wants us to be together. But I believe he's asking, how much do you want me there? How bad do you want this? I pray there'd be a compelling for us to bow our knees and pray. Lord, we need you. In a culture that's crazy and sometimes we don't feel like we have the answers, God, we have to lean into you like never before because we want your wisdom and we want your words and your voice to always come through us in Jesus' name. Amen. So I just, again, as we always meet together, I want to give everybody an opportunity to know Jesus. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, we've done a lot of talking about devoted conference. We've done a lot of praying. But I just want to ask you, friend, do you know Jesus? Do you know him personally as your Lord and a Savior? Do you know him like you've heard other people talk about him? Do you know that he has your back, wants to have your back in every area of your life? Maybe you grew up in church, you've heard it about it, but you've never had a personal relationship with him. Or maybe you've never made that decision to go, yep, Jesus, I yield my life to you. If that's you this morning, I'm going to give you an opportunity. Just lift your hand right now and say, Sharon, could you pray for me? Yes, I want to know Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life. I want to be that wholly devoted follower of Christ that you talked about earlier. If that's you this morning, wonderful sweetheart, I see you. Anyone else this morning say, yep, could you pray for me? I want to know Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, girls, let's pray this together. Say, dear Lord Jesus, thank you that you died for me. And right now, I ask you, come into my heart. Change me from the inside out. Thank you for forgiving my sin. And thank you that today I walk out of here a Christian. Christ in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Sharon Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Sharon at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.